first off, you led probably the most complex shuttle mission ever undertaken, repairing the Hubble telescope and also NASA's reputation. Can you talk about what the repaired Hubble has meant to us as humans?
Yeah, that little, my little sweetie doing a great job. That's my little sweetie. So most people think astronauts train to go do something, go do it. I was with Hubble for 18 years before I went to fix it. I picked it up in 1975. It's just the next machine I had. I had the machines on the farm, drove them all at age 9. 12 or 13 remote fields, I could fix them. Then heavy construction equipment mechanic building the Massachusetts Turnpike. So I was in the western end of Massachusetts Turnpike. Then a Marine Corps mechanic, military airplanes. Then a tank mechanic going to Syracuse. And then a trauma surgeon fixing broken people. So when they need to have a lead astronaut to look at the next machine, and what could happen to it, what you can do about it. That's the history. That's how I got that assignment. So that's very important. And so way back in 75, the story, you and the team, and identify every single thing that could go wrong with this machine and what you're going to do about it, how you're going to fix it. So for 18 years, I looked at every possible little nuance, intricate failure, consequence that can happen to this thing, and you know how I'm going to recover it. And so that's 18 years, and that's the important part of this thing. And so thankfully, when I went to go fix the mission, we had it right. And so this is not compulsive type A stuff. This is Dorothy Hamill. I trained with her for this job. You know, you choreograph, you come up with a plan. You test the plan, you research the plan, you rehearse the plan, and then you get so when the music starts, you can do it. And that's what it's all about. When the music starts, you can do it, whether it's Dorothy or whether it's me. I am an athletic event. I don't care how you look at it. I'm a high jumper. I go out that door, and me and the tools are going to do a dance. Me and the tools are going to dance all over that machine to get the job done or not. that's the whole history. And that's why it went the way it did. And very, very few surprises. And what's it mean to people? The pillars of creation. That's what it means to people. The most powerful image ever to get released onto people. That thing, nowadays they say went viral. But yes, it was on the front page of every single newspaper and every magazine across the entire planet. And the pillars of creation, and of course I know the person, to put into the Hubble Science Center. So all kinds of people make inputs to the Hubble Science Center in Baltimore on what they would like to have photographed. And then they put that together as a package and they send it to Goddard and the commands go up not to have the Hubble do that. But the Pillars of Creation is it's just one example. And so it is not just technology. It's not just astronomical and astronomy science. It's looking the universe out there, and it's looking to not just get to science. It's also to get humanity's place in this whole thing. And what are we doing? How are we evolving within the universe? And who should we be? You know. And so that's what that stuff means. It's incredibly good science. It's very important for people to understand Hubble is not a powerful telescope. It's a tiny little telescope. It's 84-inch primary mirror. But it's outside the atmosphere where you get totally perfect viewing. It's not, there is some air, but it's pretty darn good viewing. And since you're up there, you can take a 30-day exposure. And the pointing is so good. And so it's visual pointing. It's not just the accuracy of your navigation. It has three other cameras as powerful as the big camera, in which here is the universe you see in those cameras repeated tomorrow. You could do an exposure today and continue your exposure tomorrow. And so it's like having your little single reflex camera, and you open the lens and you snap and you take this picture. You can repeat. You can add more pixels to that image tomorrow. And so that's why Hubble is so good. It's not so big. It's very clear viewing, and the accuracy of target pointing, of visual pointing, is so great. You can take an image for 30 days, and now you're getting into not just resolution. There's two parts about photography and astronomy up there, and that is the resolution to be able to differentiate between two objects. But the other thing, just how faint can you see? Well, you take a 30-day exposure, and you're looking at really faint stuff from the beginning of the universe. Okay, you ask a little question, and you get a 10-minute answer.
Do you have an emotional attachment to the Hubble?
I love that little sweetie. Yep. Of course, that's my little machine. That's a little piece of farm equipment. And I do things that way. And that's why I got the job. Because I relate to machinery. And I animate machinery as if it's a being. And so I have my little airplanes. And, you know, I kiss airplanes. And I do this kind of stuff. Quick story. I'm on a commercial airplane one day. And it's an MD-80. You know the MD-80s with the motors in the back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go in the restroom to listen to my motors. And I'm just a passenger. But there's one day on MD-80, there's no line for the restrooms back here. And so I can take all day to go back and listen to my motors, and I grab structure. I can tell you're within 6 inches of that motor, and that's my kind of stuff. But a flight attendant notices I've been in there much too long for any reasonable thing, so they knock on the door, you know. Are you okay, sir? I said, yeah, I sure am. I'm just listening to the motors. And she looks at me funny. You're a pilot, sir. I am. And I said, by the way, your engines are out of sync. I said, go to flight attendant. She doesn't know what she's dealing with. She doesn't know what that means. It could be significant. And she ran up and told the captain. And the captain says, you go back and apologize to that poor man. They are out of sync. The sync mechanism is broken, and they're too far back for me to do it by ear. So it's not significant. It's only aesthetics.
Wow.
It's only the music, you know, the way the two engines talk at each other. Are they in harmony or not? It's not significant. However, the airplane does have a sync mechanism to match up to frequencies. And, of course, he's waiting for you. What could have that case? But anyway, you ask a question. Am I emotionally attached to machines? Yes, I am. I animate them as if they are alive.